Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Stuart Thompson. Welcome to Personal Transformation. Here tonight, celebrating my third anniversary doing the show. I'm amazed that I'm still doing this and talking about this, but nevertheless, here I am. I'm broadcasting live from the Gatehouse at 3101 Lakeshore Boulevard, West in Toronto, or Old Etobicoke, as I always say, which to me it always will be. But nevertheless, I'm here, and what am I going to be talking about tonight? Well, I'm going to be talking about a few things. Things that are coming up at the house. I'm also going to be talking about stuckness and moving forward, which is always a great topic around here anyway, meaning that that it creates great conversation. And it's amazing, you know, when you're stuck, you don't even know it. But anyway, to which I'm going to elaborate more on that tonight in regards to using myself as my experience. So you hopefully you can relate to what I'm talking about. But in the interim, I have some announcements to make. One of them, first off, which is very most important, and very, very, very important, is that I am not a psychotherapist, a therapist, or anything of that sort. I'm here only on a peer level, offering my own experiences, be it as they may, and through the Gatehouse and outside the Gatehouse. And nor will I try to tell you what you should or shouldn't do. I'm just here to offer you my own experiences and the stuff that we do here at the Gatehouse. And in the same thing here at the Gatehouse, this is all peer supported as well. We do have therapists in the house, but our role here as far as our groups are concerned, just to clarify this so you know, we just do peer support with a little bit of CBD, as a little CBT incorporated into. Welcome. Happy you're here tonight. And another little thing I need to get now you know that I'm not a psychologist or a therapist or anything like that. So if you are triggered in any way at all, which I really, my intention tonight is not to trigger anybody. I hope everybody will be just nice and mellow and relaxed like I am right now. So if you are triggered, if you're in Canada or the U.S., you can call RAIN at 1-800-656-4674 or 1-800-656-HOPE. Or 4674. And if you are in the greater Toronto area, downtown Toronto, you can call the Gerstein Center at 416-929-5200. If you are in North York or Etobicoke, 416-498-0043. And if you are in the West End, Peel Mobile Crisis at 905-278-9036. Now, if you were to the northeast from here, the York region, 310 COPE at 905-310-2673. If you were in the Colborne area, or I should say the eastern corridor down the 401 heading towards Kingston, Belleville, Trenton, Cornwall, Ottawa, Montreal, you could call 1-800-742-1890. And one last number I'm going to give you. I know I gave you a lot of numbers, but like I say, my goal here tonight is not to trigger anybody, is to call the Distress Center at 416-408-4357. And if I also may, that all these numbers are 24/7. So you can call anytime and not feel, I mean, there'll always be somebody there. So, folks, okay. Now, I wanted to get a couple announcements out of the way before I kind of dive into what we're going to be doing tonight. And tonight is going to be kind of open. I know I'm going to be talking about stuckness. I'm going to talk about moving forward. But a lot of what's transpired over the 3 years has led me to be where I'm here today, which I'm going to dive into that more. But two more announcements I want to make right off the hop before I forget, which I'm going to make at the end of the night. One of them, June the 2nd, we are having our 7th Annual International Transforming Trauma Conference. We have a real host of guest speakers that are going to be there. I'm not going to read through all their manifestos because I don't have all of them right here in front of me, but I do have their names and their titles and to what they do. So first off, right off the hop, we have Pauline Gray. She's an inspector, unit commander of sex crimes of Toronto Police Services. that is one of our keynote speakers, which we're really looking forward to hearing what Pauline has to say. Now, another really interesting individual we have come along here is David Butt. He's a criminal lawyer. And David Butt served on the Gomeshi trial. And I can't talk too much about that now, but in fact, I'm kind of hoping to get him in here at some point for an interview to talk about this more. But anyway, David Butt was part of the Gomeshi trial, and he will be speaking at our conference. Now, Ali Lewis, a part of the Lewis family, will be coming in and talking about LEAP Manifesto. And the LEAP Manifesto is about how transforming. Okay, you know what? I'm not even going to bother trying to explain this. I'm just going to move on to the next one because I'm worried I'm going to screw it up. But anyway, we have Evie Lewis coming in as well, which will be after David Butt. Now, we also have Tara Muldoon, which from the Forgiveness Project panel, which I've had in here just 2 weeks ago, and she'll be there as well. And we also have Leonard Benoit. He is a facilitator here as well. I know he's an RN, and I think it's Toronto General, but I stand corrected if I'm wrong there. But he will be coming in and talking about the two-spirited people of the First Nations. We also have James Buffin, which I've had on here quite a few times in the past as well, from Virtuous Pictures. So James Buffin is a film producer, and he, well, actually, just back last year, he finally released Illuminating Light, and he's also done several different pieces as well. But if you just Google James Buffin or Virtuous Pictures, and you'll see all kinds of things that he has done in the past. Now, we also have yours truly going to be speaking as well. I will be speaking about I'll be speaking about connections through social media is what I'll be talking about. I won't be talking so much about my story other than I am a survivor, thriver, and I'm here. But I'm not going to be talking so much about my story. I'm just going to be talking about the connections through social media. There's so many connections out there. There's so many resources out there that people don't even get. But I'm going to talk about that on a much greater level. Now, our last two guests, again, these two people I'm going to mention, both guests have been here as well on this show as well. Rob Hawkins, he's a psychotherapist. And also, Helen Giuliani, an interventionist, addictions counselor. Both of them will also be speaking at the conference as well. So we have a very full day ahead on June 7th. The cost is $150, but if you're a student, or something like that, and there's automatically you're going to break on the price. So if you would like to call and inquire about it, you can call the Gatehouse at 416-255-5900, or you can go onto our website at www.thegatehouse.org, and I believe you can register on there as well. So basically, it is going to be held. We don't have enough room in the house because I believe we have around 150 people, somewhere around there, over 100 people. I know that for sure coming. And it will be at Humber College Lakeshore Campus, Building L, or the Lakeshore Commons Building, room L1017. Or the address would be at 21 Colonel Sam Smith Parkway Drive at Kipling and Lakeshore. So registration starts at 9. We start promptly at 9:30, and we'll be finished at 4. And anybody who's listening, who's part of the Gatehouse, and who's part of, and you've paid your dues, we will also be having our annual meeting of the, our annual exec meeting of the Gatehouse as well, which we have always after the conference. Okay, so another thing I need to mention too as well, we will be on June 17th, we will be having another partners group coming up, and it's a one-day thing from 9:30 till 3:30, 4 o'clock, with a lunch break, obviously, and a couple of breaks in between. And if you are at all interested in attending it, now, if you're not familiar with the partners program is about, it's basically a place that you could, that if, for example, if you are a survivor of childhood sexual abuse, and your partner has been with you through your good times and through your bad times, and they don't quite understand what's going on with your healing, for example, or not going on with your healing, then we would encourage you to bring your partner to this support group, And in this group, we will be talking about the things that, well, maybe you don't know how to talk about or how to ask these things. And you will be in a peer environment. So there will be lots of opportunity to speak what's going on. And it is a very, very, it's a very great day. And we cover an awful lot of things. And actually, let me just look at my phone here so I could tell you exactly. I put it on my phone here and I could be a little bit more specific on what I'm talking about here. Let me just go to my pictures here. And I will tell you once I find it here. Where is it? Oh, yeah, here we are. Okay. Now, for example, so what we'll be covering, what is childhood sexual abuse? That'd be one of the questions we'll be talking about. What are the experiences for an adult who has experienced childhood sexual abuse? That's another topic we'll be covering. What are the experiences for the partner of the experienced childhood sexual abuse? Or rather, yeah, let me see that again. Yeah, what are the experiences for that partner of the adult who has experienced childhood sexual abuse? Another question we'll be asking, what do trauma and healing journey do to the whole relationship? What is in the struggle? What is the struggle for both? And finally, how do people manifest in meaningful ways and the whole relationship? So those are the kind of questions we'll be covering. And of course, any others that you might that might come up as well. And again, if you would like to attend, it will be on June 17th, as I've stated, at Hummer Campus. It won't be held at the house because we have too many people. And it will be done by Jay, Caroline, and myself. And if you'd like to partake in this, then I would suggest you call the Gatehouse at 416-255-5900. And speak with anyone on the staff, who will be more than happy to help you with to get registered. And if you go onto our website, I'm sure that you can you'll be able to register there as well. But if you're unsure on that, just call the Gatehouse at 416-255-5900, and any one of the staff or volunteers will be more than happy to help you get yourself situated in that. Or if you just like some more information. Okay, now, have I forgotten anything? I think I've covered everything. I've covered that. Oh, yes, one more last thing. We will be doing another suicide intervention training, or assist suicide intervention training, starting June 10th and 11th. And I do believe we are almost full, so we'll only be taking a few more seats for that. But it will, again, if you want to... If you want to partake in this or be part of this, you can call the Gatehouse at 416-255-5900 or go on the website at www.thegatehouse.org. And if you have any questions there, so myself and Brad Hutchins will be heading that up, and actually rather looking forward to it. Okay, so if I covered everything, I think I've covered everything for now, and I will go back on these announcements towards the end. So, let me see. Am I ever thinking anything here? Okay. Thank you, Living with Abuse, on my 3 years. And thanks, Maria from the Gatehouse. And okay, I wish I was able to go, especially with Gomeshi Trial Man there. Depends on the Suns and sports schedule. Watch this space. Okay, well, thank you, Living with Abuse. And okay, so I'm comfortable in my chair here. Got me a coffee. I got my feet kicked out. If you choose to go on social media, and I am on Twitter as the Unforgiven Warrior, or Got to Get Out of, and I'm easily. And you can find me easily enough. Okay, so, well, needless to say, it has been an interesting 3 years. And, folks, I'm probably not going to go the full 2 hours, although anything's possible, but I'll try to condense it a little bit and try to stick with what's important, although whenever I seem to do that, it does seem to take up the time. But nevertheless, folks, Okay, so my 3 years here. Well, it's been an interesting 3 years, and an awful lot has happened within the last 3 years. I wanted to talk about stuckness and moving forward. Well, this is a great example of what I'm doing of being stuck and moving forward. And let me reiterate on that a little bit more and talk about that a little bit more. Well, first off, well, I am stuck because I've done the show for 3 years. Well, that's stuck in a positive way. When I talk about stuckness, I'm talking about holding on to things from the past and not moving forward. Well, I've been really, really good about letting things go from the past and moving forward, but there's always still some things that kind of hang on, kind of like a, well, something bad. Anyway, kind of just hang on, and it kind of comes up behind you from time to time, and what it does, kind of nips you in the heels and says, and kind of tells yourself that, well, I'm very comfortable being in that place. So do I really want to stay there? And okay, so I want to stay there. So what does that mean by staying there? Well, and again, let me talk around a little bit about what I'm talking about. Okay, so if I'm in major stuckness mode, and let me just give you a hypothetical kind of an example. Okay, so here I am, stuck in this mode, and I want to. I want to. Okay, like I said, this is just going to be hypothetical. So I want to go to the store, and I want to buy a bag of chips. Like I said, this is just a. Yes, Firechild, you're absolutely right. And by the way, hello there. Hi, Stu. Yes, people are still not linking adult mental illness to child abuse. You're absolutely right. But anyway, back to what I'm talking about, and I will touch base with that a little bit more about what you're talking about there, Firechild. I kind of going to segue into that, but I'm talking about stuckness. And my example was I was going to go to the store, and I was just going to buy a bag of chips. Well, within saying that, I feel that I gotta have this bag of chips. If it's the last thing I do, I gotta have this bag of chips, and I won't eat anything else. And it's gotta be a certain kind, and that's all there is to it. I know this is not a great example, but I mean it's just to give you an example of what could be. Well, I'm gonna give you an extreme example, and then I'm gonna give you an actual example. So my extreme example is the bag of chips. So here I am, and it has to be a certain kind, and I have to buy it at a certain time of the day or whatever the case may be. Anyway, I have to buy it is the bottom line. And I don't want nothing else, and I have to have it all the time. So so I go buy it. And that's my example of being stuck on buying potato chips. Well, although it's not a great example, but actually I'll give you a better example. I know I kind of went off the wing there a little bit, but that's all right. I'll give you an example, a really good example of being stuck. Okay, well, I talked about earlier in the evening, or rather earlier when I got started, that I wasn't going to be talking about anything triggering. Well, I kind of told a little fib because I am going to talk about something that's going to be really triggering for some people. And just to warn you right now that if you are finding this true triggering, you can just shut this off and you can come back and listen at a later time. So, folks, this is what's going down. Well, I've talked about this before in the past, and I'm quite, and I have no problem talking about it now because the more it's talked about, not just for me, but it's important nevertheless, and I can't let it slide by because I struggle with this every day, and I know there's other people out there that struggle with this just as much as I do. And thank you for the comment, Maria. Mindfulness and reframing distorted thoughts help survivors with positively address these triggers. You're absolutely right. Yes, ma'am, it does. So I'm going to be talking about, well, this is what I have every day. And this to me, this is a form of stuckness. And I guess the best way for me to say it, is, other than a bag of potato chips, is just to go right out and say it, because it involves me. So I'm going to be talking about suicide. Okay, there's not a day goes by that I don't think about it. And obviously, I'm not doing it, or I haven't done it. But I feel by dealing it on the level with it, that I am dealing with it, like talking about it, for example. And obviously, I haven't done that. But what I mean by stuckness with this thought is just having a thought in my head. Now, I remember when I had a guest in here many months back, and I said to this individual, actually to this therapist. I can't think of the name right here in front of me, but I said to this therapist that I wasn't going to try not to think about this. Well, it's kind of hard not to. Like I say, there's not really a day goes by that I don't think about it. And I guess it's a form of stuckness because I'm thinking about it every day. I don't think I'm actually, it's not a question of, I don't think, it's a question of, rather it's more of, I'm not going to go and do it, but those thoughts are still there. So how am I going to change those thoughts? How am I going to think about happier thoughts? Well, there's many things I can do to change that thought process, which I do daily. So I don't think like that. So I don't have to be in that stuckness mode. And what I mean by that is, well, I find things to do. Like, for example, now I started playing baseball last week. That's a great distraction for me not to think about that. So as soon as that suicide ideation comes into my head, then I get off that thought. So what I've had to do, aside from thinking about baseball, I had to think about motorcycling, I had to think about going for walks, I had to think about all kinds of different things. And trust me, not thinking about suicide and on a daily basis is really, really hard. But I've had to find other ways to put my thoughts in different places so that I didn't think about it. Now, I know for a fact, and this, I'm really going to love saying this, is that within the last... Oh, I don't know. Okay, I'm going to give you a two-week period. And out of that two-week period, I can honestly say that I've had probably 5 days out of that two-week period where I did not have that thought. Yeah, I did. I did not have that thought. So, and what I did so I didn't get that thought, I found happier things to deal with. I mean, I know that's really easy for me to say from this end, because I'm not at your end and not knowing what's going on. And yes, Firechild, very good idea. Playing games, taking walks, knitting, baking, etc., are all great distress tolerance skills. Absolutely. Everything drawing, riding your bicycle, you know, just much, you know, much, well, I call them, I guess you'd call them, well, they are happy thoughts, but they're active thoughts. So if you're going for a walk, or you're going for a bicycle ride, well, that's a great distraction. And thank you, Maria, for your comment as well. And yes, so that was, you know, now to me, that is moving forward. So if I've had basically 14 days, and out of that 14 days, I've had 5 days where I did not think about it. That is huge for me. That is huge. If you knew me, well, you knew me like I knew me, like I know me, you would totally get what I'm talking about. And I've been very, very open about this as long as I've talked doing this personal transformation about suicide. Well, I actually had those days where I didn't think about it, which I never thought possible. You know, I've been fighting and struggling not so I didn't, so I don't think like that. I mean, and again, it's like I say, it's not like I'm going to go and do it, but it's just a thought comes up in my head, and it's very easy to crawl into that dark hole. It's so, so easy. And it has, I mean, it's easy for me only because I've spent so much time there. I really didn't know any other way. And now I'm beginning to see ways which I never thought possible. So my bit of stuckness in regards to that, It's changing. So, you know, I guess it involved rewiring the brain to a certain degree, and it's actually starting to work, because I've struggled so hard with this for so long. You know, I've seen myself go days literally days and days about that thought in my head, and just the fact I'm able to say that, yes, I had that many days where I did not think about it to any degree, or not even once that I even think about it, is huge for myself. So to me, that form of stuckness, which I've talked about, I've been stuck there, having that thought every day, actually more than once a day too, by the way, several times a day, where I would fall into that mode and think, well, you know, think about it. But now, in these last 2 weeks, I've actually been able to, as the 5 days or the 14 days, I know because I've been counting it, that where I did not think about it. And that is huge, huge for me. I don't know, a lot of people may not, or maybe they could understand, but I could not understand why I kept thinking about it. I couldn't get it out of my head. Well, that's actually starting to change now. And I'm really, really grateful that started to happen. So now, within saying that, now to start changing other things, you know, like this has been my personal transformation, basically. You know, I've been doing this show for 3 years. I've been at the Gatehouse for 6 years. And yet, in this 6 years, plus now that I've been doing this, it's taken an awful lot of effort on my part to be where I am now. Now, I've been stuck with these thoughts for probably going on 50 years. So just because someone suggests someone suggested, well, think different thoughts and don't think like that because it's bad for you, it's taboo and all those other things. Well, it's easier said than done. Easier said than done. It was easier not going to buy a bag of potato chips versus not thinking about suicide. It was a hell of a lot easier thinking like that than suicide. I'd much rather go and think about. I'd much rather go into the store and buy a bag of potato chips, and let my worries go away through that bag of chips. But it just doesn't. It just doesn't work that way. Okay, a couple more things here. I've got some flow going in here. Okay, Maria. Oh, yeah. It's important to talk about with a person who is thinking about suicide without the judgment to help them keep them safe. Absolutely. And thank you for saying that, Maria. You're absolutely right. Because I'm not getting any judgment passed down to me now because I'm talking about it, and I really, really appreciate that. Flower Child. Survivors can fall back into suicidal feelings during periods of low energy and feeling like a failure. Absolutely. I love what you just said there, Flower Child, because that often relates to me as you just described. I would have a bad day, and I would fall back into that in that isolation of that I wasn't worthy, and I wanted to do that. That was my plan of thinking all the time whenever I had a bad day, and it's still very easy. Like, I mean, I know that I had a couple of so-so days last week. And I talked about the 5 days. Well, in those 5 days where I had a couple of so-so days, in those couple of days I talked about, I did not get those thoughts. So to me, that's again, like I said, that's huge for someone coming like me. But when you constantly struggle with your self-worth all the time, as I do as well, it's another one of those things that I've been working on forever, it seems like. It is so easy to fall back in those suicidal thoughts. It's so easy to think that I'm a loser and I have no self-worth. I'm not worthy of anybody's friendship, or I'm not worthy of having a relationship. All those things come into your head, and then automatically the suicidal ideation comes into my head anyway, and that's what happens. And Flower Child made another comment. Survivors often live with suicidal thoughts, everyday reality. Well, yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. I can speak for myself and what I've heard from many others, Flower Child. I know speaking for myself, that thought's been in my head as long as I can remember, probably going on 50 years. And I don't want to think like that anymore. I just don't want to think like that anymore. It's just that simple. I'd rather think of other happier thoughts, just happier thoughts in general versus thinking like that. And again, it's not that easy. I mean, it'd be different if I thought about suicide. It was there for 10 seconds, and it was gone. But when you think about it, and you think about it for hours at a time, on that thought, then that's really, really hard. But if I'm able to go there, think about it, and find a way of redirecting my thoughts, and to me that's huge as well, and that's great for moving forward. But when you've stuck with those thoughts all that time, it's so, you know, it's just not that simple. You know, I could tell you lots of things you could do or not do, but I'm not going to. The idea is what I've done for myself, and I can only tell others to try it is just to face it, and of course to talk about it, and hopefully you have someone close by that you can trust, that you can talk about it with. Just like I've talked about the feelings of self-worth and that kind of things too. Same thing there. Having somebody that you're able to trust enough that you can carry on a conversation like that. Okay. Suicide. anyway, that's been my stick, for example, for as far as you know, holding on to something and that's been part of my stuckness for the longest time. And I'm amazed I'm even talking about this now, to be honest with you, because I really, not one of my favorite topics, and I can't say that would be. Sometimes acceptance is the only thing we can do. Yes. And again, I'm going to reflect off what you just said, Flower Child. And that's exactly kind of how I've projected that onto myself, is that what I've done is, well, I can't ignore it. And even if I do think about it, well, I can't ignore it. So what I'm going to do, like I've done with some of the other things as I've done, is I have tucked it in a box and hid it away. Is what I've done is I've put it on a shelf so I can look at it every day. And when I look at it every day, it knows that it that thought knows that I haven't forgot about you or about it, about that thought. And that if it comes up, that I'm not going to run away. I'm going to be right there with it, and I'm going to deal with it face on. So within saying that, I put it on the shelf, and I think that's what's kind of happened where I had those days where I didn't have those thoughts, and which was kind of nice and refreshing, because when you have those thoughts every day, like I've had for as long as I can remember, you get this awful feeling inside your body. And I guess it's a form of body trauma. And I have this. I mean, I'm still trying to shake it. And maybe this is where I may need to go. And I remember when I had that biofeedback specialist in here, Deb Adams. And this is where I may need to go and see her to get some help with this. Because this body trauma that I carry, which I really don't share too much about and talk about too much, it's just awful. And in that body trauma, talk about being stuck. That's something that's really stuck in my body, and which I would love to get rid of. I get this awful pain inside me, and it starts from, I don't know, basically below my chest all the way down into my stomach. And I've had this pain or this feeling inside of me for many, many, many years. And there's probably not many days that I don't get it. I'm more apt not to get it, I guess, when I'm around people that make me feel comfortable. But when I'm by myself, it's more apt to happen, especially when I get into those thoughts that I talked about, such as suicide, for example. And I started thinking about it, that would automatically happen. That nasty feeling in my body would just come right through me. And the worst thing about it is very, well, I don't even know how I can describe it. It's a really, really awful feeling inside you. And I have this nasty, nasty pain, like I say, from my chest down, pretty much down to my belly button. And I guess it's a form of body trauma, for what I understand. Again, it would be something I would have to go and talk to a doctor about, which I'm not really too keen on, because I don't go to doctors anyway. So I would say, I think that if I, over a period of time, that if I get rid of some of those thoughts, I believe that that trauma that I'm talking about for myself will eventually alleviate itself. And hopefully, you know, unless I, you know, I can't read between the lines and it's something more, and where I will have to go to see a specialist. Well, I have no idea, but all I know is that whenever those thoughts happen, I get this nasty, nasty feeling in my body, and it takes a long time to shake it away. drugs, alcohol, don't take it away. It just doesn't. If anything, what it does, it enhances it and makes it worse when it already is. So if I'm ever feeling that way, I will never go that direction. What I end up doing is what I've learned to do is that in order to get myself so I don't think like that, is I had to find ways, different ways of training my thoughts. So if I was feeling like I didn't have any self-worth, for example, or I was feeling I was getting suicidal thoughts, and then those feeling, that feeling in my body would come inside me and create, it causes great discomfort for myself. So what I have learned, though, when I do get that thought, is, well, I found a form of grounding, for example, for myself that I do that helps me with that pain. So basically what I got to do for myself is I take my thought patterns elsewhere, other than feeling down on myself, for example. So I try to find positive thoughts and or positive affirmations. And by doing so, that helps alleviate the pain quite a bit. Okay, flower child. Okay, I have had to learn to be kind to myself. On days when my energy is low, I cannot get out of my bed. Yeah, I kind of relate to what you're talking about. I can't relate, obviously, where days will can't get out of your bed. Well, actually, I shouldn't say that. You know, it happens to me too sometimes where I just don't feel that way. But being kind to yourself, I mean, that's really a hard thing to do. And it's kind of like falls in place to what I'm talking about now. You know, when I had those thoughts of suicide and or self-worth, whatever, I just, you know, I get this body pain. But how I was able to get out of that body pain was actually by changing my thought process. So, again, that's another form of stuckness that's held on to me for as long as I can remember. And Maria makes a comment, when moving out of isolation, trust building is a crucial first step. Absolutely. It certainly is. And trust building, for example, like when we talk about the Partners Program, that's one of the things we do in the Partners Program. I know I'm going off topic here a little bit, but in the Partners Program, we have trust building exercises, which we do in the Partners Program as well. And and yes, so okay. But anyway, that's another form of stuckness that I've talked about, which is basically hung on to myself and which I've been trying to deal with for years, and is slowly starting to change. And I guess, like I've said, you can call that transformation on my part or personal transformation. And don't get me wrong, I'm not healed, and nor do I profess that I am. But I am telling you is that I've moved forward. I'm moving forward. It's taking a fair amount of time, I have to admit. Not that I had a timetable on it, but it has taken time. And one of the great big factors, too, is I choose not to give up. I choose to keep pushing forward and forward and forward. And by doing so, that has helped me immensely to move forward, to get me out of this stuckness that I've talked about. I talked about grounding and finding different ways of grounding yourself when you get into those thoughts. I've often mentioned about having inanimate objects in your pocket. I've talked about meditation. There's many, many different forms of things you can do to get yourself out of that thought of suicide or self-worth, as I've talked about. I've found ways of what I do for myself, for example. I probably do a couple of different things. And over the years, I've had to try many different things just so I don't fall back. And if I do fall back, I had to find many different ways. Let me rephrase this. If I did fall back on those old patterns, and in order to retrain my thought process, I have had to find new ways of grounding myself out. Or pausing and bringing myself back into the now versus keep myself back in the past. Oh yes, flower child. Yeah, you're absolutely right. When you feel stuck, it can feel like it will last forever. We need to remember that feelings pass. Well, you're absolutely right. And I'm kind of saying that for myself right now. But, you know, finding ways to, to pause and to stop self-loathing, you know, like finding ways of grounding yourself and you know, whether it's through meditation or, you know, through inanimate objects in your pocket or going for a walk or something, but finding different ways to ground yourself when you get into that thought process is not an easy task either. I've had to find many, many different ways of helping myself so that when I did get into that thought process, as I've been describing all along, to help me not to be stuck in those thoughts. Again, everything from an inanimate object in my pocket for walks, listening to music, art, you know, a really good movie. I don't know. I mean, there's many different things you can do, you know, writing, journaling. I'm not great at that, but I have in the past. Having a really good friend, you know, there's many different things you can do to get yourself out of that hole. Meditation, calling your friend in crisis, or orient yourself to the here and now and grounding. Yes, Marie, absolutely. And it's kind of like it falls into what I'm saying here. So finding different ways, and it may take an individual many different things or many different tries till it actually works. So you try something and you like what you're doing, but it didn't work the first time. You may have to try it a few times, for example, so it does work. Or find something else and keep switching it around. I know for myself, I've had to find many different things to keep myself grounded. I can get out of it reasonably quickly and residual effects on me to any way. So finding ways, good ways of meditation, good ways to meditate or grounding, as I give you some examples, do yoga, for example, that's another good example of helping you get control of your thoughts to whatever degree or whatever capacity your body will allow you to do so, you know, and you need to be careful too with some of these things too. You know, you could go out there and do some of this stuff and you don't want to get hurt too as well. So be very mindful and think about what you're going to do or what you're going to try to help you with your grounding. So especially if it involves physical exercise, it's very, very important that you pay attention to know that what your body can take and what your body can't take, and your mind as well. Not just your mind as well. You need to keep them both in check when doing some of these things to keep yourself grounded, you know, making sure that it's not going to hurt you, you know, physically, like, you know, walking too much, for example, or lifting too many weights, or going to yoga, for example, or you do a form of a martial art and then you go ahead and you do a bender or you contort yourself and you hurt your back or you hurt something. You know, that's not what it's about. But anyway, so I'd recommend that if you are trying to find grounding techniques, one thing you can do, in fact, is if you go online and you Google grounding techniques, you will find all kinds of different things on there. And I really recommend that you go and do that and look and check it out, because there's many different things you can do to help you. If you can't think of anything, I'm telling you that if you go on there and you Google grounding techniques, you will find literally hundreds of things, thousands of different things that you can do to help yourself with grounding. And the trick is, though, as I had to find the right things that work for me. So what may work for me may not work for you. And what may work for you may not work for me. So if it means trying different things and getting your feet wet, pardon the way I put that, but that's really what it means, is you're going to get your feet wet to see what actually works for you. Take the time. I really recommend it that you take the time and try to find that glitch that works for you, that you're not going to that you won't regret later, whether it be through a bad back pain or a bad psychological experience, you know. So when you are picking your grounding techniques that work for you, put some thought into it. And if you're not sure, ask lots of questions. Just ask lots of questions, because in the end of the day, you're talking about you. And you need to be careful how you're going to react in your mind and how your body's going to react. And these things will be very, very helpful. And the things that I've talked about have helped me to be where I am today, such as the suicidal ideation, for example, the thoughts, for example. I just gave you a great example of, I can't believe it, I went like 5 days, this is 5 days for many, many, many years, as long as I can remember, where I did not think about suicide. To me, that's a big thing, a huge thing. I can think of a lot of things. Well, I mean, I can say this now, but there's a lot better things out there to think about than that, for myself anyway. And the same with the self-worth, like, struggle with that as well. But again, I keep doing things to try to change that thought. Like, for example, like, well, I'm sitting here tonight. I just did 3 years. Here I am thinking that I don't have any personal value towards myself, and that I haven't, you know, that I'm not doing what I could be doing or should be doing, or actually I got to keep shit out of that because there's no shoulds here, or really what I could be doing or I have the capacity of doing is actually really the way, really what it is for me is having the capacity. Well, I've learned that my capacity is much grander than I ever thought. Don't get me wrong, folks, I'm not here to gloat about myself, but all I'm trying to do is get you to understand that being stuck in those thoughts like I've talked about, you don't have to be stuck. And I wish I could bring some other survivors I know, actually I should call them thrivers or warriors, or like what I call myself. I could bring them in here right now, and they can give you very similar examples of what I'm talking about. I'm giving you the extreme right here in regards to myself. Well, that's really what my extreme is. That's what my day's been like for as long as I can remember, those thoughts. And it has started to change. And it's all from my grounding techniques, meditation, and starting to love myself. You know, I still struggle with that immensely, or my self-worth. I still struggle with that. But at least the difference is now I understand. What I mean by understand is that I know what I'm feeling. I'm very aware of what I'm feeling, so that therefore when I do get into that thought process, at least I can, or when I'm triggered, I hate using that word trigger. The trigger is supposed to be like on a gun or on something anyway, or anyway, I want to change those thoughts. And by doing the stuff that I've been doing and with some hard work, it can change. Well, it changed for me, and it could change for you if you choose to put the work into it. You know, I do so many things all the time. I'm so busy. Granted, I have a little bit more free time coming up now, but nevertheless, that's one of my great coping skills for dealing with what I think and feel. So what I do to cope with my thinking is what I do is I'm like a little kid, which I've often made reference to, is I'll go all day, and I'll sleep a little, and I do all this stuff just so I can go to sleep at night. And I can't say that that's obviously the best practice, but that's what I've been doing. A couple more things here. Okay, Flower Child. Survivors need to practice in detachment. Detaching from strong feelings for present is a distress tolerant skill. You're absolutely right. And another point from Flower Child. Activated is a good word to use if you don't like the word trigger. Yes, absolutely. Thank you for saying that, Flower Child. Yeah, so if you feel activated or bothered, I can use that word too. And and you need to find grounding techniques. So like I said, I've had to find many different things that work for me, and I've had to switch them from time to time, you know, bouncing back to old habits such as drugs and alcohol just don't work for me. It doesn't work for me at all. So I need to find other ways of grounding myself or to bring myself back into reality. Into this reality, that's for sure. So I'm really looking forward to the summer. There's going to be, again, I've done something I haven't done in years. Is what I've done is for a grounding, what I've done is I planted a garden this year, and I didn't plant a huge garden, but what I've done is I planted it's basically just a big box, and And I vined it all so I can grow cucumbers and peas and beans and all that kind of stuff, tomatoes, all that kind of stuff. But to me, it's not work. It's a form of grounding. And if you have this opportunity or in the space and you're able to do that, then that is a great thing to do. It's kind of like taking a walk through the woods, but just a little bit better. I guess it really depends on where you're coming from. But that's what I've done for myself as part of my self-care, is I've got that now. And so now that I know that every day when I go home, I've had a bad day, or if I feel activated or bothered, triggered, whatever you want to call it, whatever you would like to call it, I have something now that I can go and I can kill an hour or a couple of hours and just putter around and ground myself and bring myself back down again. And I have had great pleasure of putting all this together. And now I'm just going to have to sit back and wait at least a minimum of 30 days before I get any produce whatsoever out of it. And out of the rest of the produce, I'm going to have to wait 60 to 90 days before I get any produce out of it. So it's going to take a little bit of patience on my side, as I kind of know already. But my way of grounding, though, when I go out there to look at maintain it, it'll be to weed it, making sure it's happy, making sure it's watered. But to me, that works for me. It may not be good for you, but it works good for me. And this is what I mean about finding something for yourself that works well, that you can ground yourself out, and obviously don't feel bad about it, but where it actually helps you. If you are struggling to find something, well, then I would say don't give up. Just keep looking until you find something that actually works for you. You know, it could be something simple as playing a deck of cards. You know, not even playing with anybody. It could be just with yourself. Playing Rummy 500, for example, or solitaire by yourself, and it helps you forget about your day. But all these things are so, so important. You know, I talked about growth in the last 3 years. I think about, well, obviously I can't really disclude my first year, because I thought my first year of doing this was pretty rough. And I had some good shows, I had some bad shows. I did the same thing even in my second year. I had some good shows and some bad shows. And I can think of where I've had some bad shows where I've left and I felt so bad that it didn't work out. You know, I felt like such a loser. I didn't think I was worthy of what I was giving. I mean, if it wasn't for the Gatehouse, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing this. Well, I wouldn't be doing it live at the Gatehouse, that's for sure. I guess in retrospect, I could probably go home and do it. But to me, that would be right. I need to do it here so you people out there know that the Gatehouse is here and we're doing our thing and we're not going anywhere. We're not going anywhere soon or far. And we have lots of work to do, like in helping people coming into the house, and not just people coming into the house, but even internationally, whether it be social media or whatever the case may be. But we're not going anywhere time soon. The Gatehouse is going on its 19th year, so that must say something about the organization. And may I point out too, this is a nonprofit as well. So going on 19 years, I mean, that's pretty good. I mean, and in the community, and it stayed in the same place, hasn't moved. And if anything, the Gatehouse has grown. And what I mean by grown, I'm talking about as far as volunteers are concerned, volunteer facilitator, for example. We certainly have a lot of participants coming in here. I can't tell you how many, and I couldn't even imagine what our count's going to be for the year. Excuse me, in comparison to other years, but I know that this year, for example, aside from the groups that I've done, I'm not even including the assist or the partners groups that I've done, but I can include my one-on-ones that I've seen a lot of people. That's all I have to say to that. I've seen lots of people. I know there's been a lot of people coming through here, and I imagine our numbers are not too far from last year. And if anything, what they've done is I think that they've increased. And actually, it's not a question of I think I'm 99.9% for sure of it, that our numbers have increased in regards to male and female participants coming into the house. I can't say that we also do investigations here as well, So the police, as I've talked about before, will bring in children with CSA, and they will do investigations. So, in other words, they'll interview the children here as well. I can't even say if that's gone up or gone down either, is my point, back to what I'm talking about. So all I know is that the house has grown, and a lot of things are going on, like lots of things going on. And it's a very, very busy place. And I know that our programs have improved. Our vision has grown in regards to speaking to the world about this problem in many, many ways, such as through the Gatehouse International or CSA International, through the Gatehouse. And we've reached out internationally all over the world and for other CSA survivors. And have kind of, and we also created a network that through the Gatehouse that we can all connect. It's kind of like what I'm going to be talking about even on June the 7th. And that's another example of what I'm going to talk about as well, our involvement with CSA internationally as well. So, and it's so important because I know even on social media, a lot of the people that I see and I speak with are CSA survivors. And it's so important to connect with these people, letting everybody know or people know that they're not alone. And there's other people out there with the same struggles as they're going through. And they're supported, even though we're not neighbors or we're not living in the same town or even in the same country. In fact, the fact is that we support them all the way and we'll help them to whatever degree possible from our end, whether it be through resources or through peer support. Anyway, the Gatehouse definitely will offer that as well, which they have in the past. So my stuckness has brought me to kind of where I am here now. You know, my stuckness has brought me growth, and I kind of need to throw that in there as well. Yes, I've had all those thoughts, and I probably will have those thoughts even tomorrow, but the only difference is I got really good grounding practices, which I do to help me get me through that. And which is really, really, really key is that I'm aware. And another thing is really, 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 which is really, really key and important too as well, is that I have all kinds of support. And what I mean by support, and I know for some people that's not the case at all, it's just not there for you. But for myself, while I'm coming to the Gatehouse, well, I have the Gatehouse for support. Outside the Gatehouse, well, lucky for me, I have a couple of people that I need support. I can go for support. Although my goal when I do leave the house is not really to talk to anybody about what I'm doing or what I do, because it's such a taboo subject. And then don't get me wrong, it's not the fact that I'm afraid to talk about it. It's just they're afraid to talk about it, not me. And even then, given the right context and given the right place and the right conversation, it's quite all right to talk about it. But if you don't feel safe talking about it with the people you're around, then there's not much point in talking about it. Just not much point at all. It is very, well, it's still very taboo in society. So most people, I think, to be honest with you, are really afraid to talk about it. When I think about my social circle that I'm in right now, I think people know what I do, but they're afraid to talk to me about it. I'm sure out of these, for example, out of this baseball league that I've started just a couple of weeks ago that I'm in, out of the 104, sorry, out of the 50 people that are there, approximately 50 people. Now, I wonder how many of them have been sexually abused or as women, have they been sexually violated? Even men been sexually violated as adults as well. So, you know, when I look at that number and think, well, I bet I could find, you know, this, I mean, this, I hope this doesn't sound horrible, but I'm willing to guess or to bet that out of those people that I'm talking about, I could probably find another four or five or even more that have been through the same experience that I have. And I don't mean to sound cocky or out of place. That's not what I'm saying. And what I'm saying is that, that, in my situation, I'm talking about it's a lot more prevalent than what people think. And even in your scenario, like if you go to work and you're working with a lot of people, like, I mean, out of that 100 people, how many people have been sexually abused? So, And out of that, I mean, maybe one in maybe three, maybe five, maybe 10. That's still too many. But we really don't know because people don't talk about it. And they won't talk about it, especially in the work atmosphere, for example. Unlike, I'm able to talk about it very freely on Blog Talk Radio or Personal Transformation. And I think I know there was a couple others who were doing it. I know there was one guy in the UK that was doing it, but he's not doing it anymore. And even then, he was doing it, well, undercover. In other words, he wasn't using his name. Now, don't get me wrong by saying what I'm saying. I'm certainly not belittling him or anything of the sort. That's not what I'm saying. Is that where he is in the UK, I can understand why he wouldn't want to use his name because there's a lot of doubters that are out there. And if he, by using his name, he has a really good chance in the UK of being harassed by, you know, whether it be by pedophiles or by, people that don't want to go through the system. What I mean by that, people that don't want to go through the system, meaning that, or rather that they are in a system, meaning in the courts, for example, and they just want to badger people that sort of represent what I'm talking about, which is childhood sexual abuse. So, like I say, I think I'm pretty much the only guy that's talking about sexual abuse in Canada anyway. And 3 years ago when I started, there was nobody talking about this on the level that I am, that I'm aware of. And I did look and check and see, and I did not find anybody talking about it to the level that I have. Yes, there's lots of people out there doing different things, but they were not doing what I was doing. So to me, when I talk about self-worth and I talk about belonging and I'm talking about my self-worth, for example, you know, it's really hard to even kind of throw that in the pile now because when I think about what I'm doing, not just this radio show and what I've done what I'm doing around the gatehouse by volunteering and what it's done for me to help me find me, find out when I'm talking about find me, I'm talking about who's Stuart. You know, you see, when I came here, like I've talked about many times, I didn't know who Stuart was. I knew who Stuart was through perception of other eyes, and people perceive me as being, I still even have a hard time even hearing this today, when people tell me I'm a good person, or when people tell me that I'm a good guy, that just drives me up the wall. Really, it does. Even to this day, it drives me up the wall. But when I can actually, someone says that to me and I can actually take it as a compliment and not get annoyed where I want to give them the finger or I tell them off. Well, that's a huge thing coming from my part. And again, I can't believe it. I'm here 3 years. I'm doing this. I mean, we've had some really, really good guests come on the show in the past. And like I say, I've had some good shows and I've had some bad ones. And I probably will have a few more good ones and I'll probably have a few more bad ones. You know, I talk about how long I'm going to stay here now after doing 3 years. It's amazing how the 3 years has gone by. But really, what has it done? And what has it done for me? Has it helped others? You know, all these things were questions that fell in my head and just that have been sitting there for quite a while. I've been pondering and wondering, well, why the hell am I still here? Why do I feel the need to keep pushing on something that's so daunting for most people that don't even want to speak about it to any degree whatsoever. And yet here I am talking about it on internet radio. And yet I'm not bothered by anybody downplaying me to any degree or bad-mouthing me or anything like that. But I haven't even had that. So I can't even bring that into the equation. And if it has been there, it certainly has never been laid on the table in front of me. So either if it's there or they're too afraid of hurting my feelings or whatever the case may be, it just hasn't been there. Well, I know I've done bad and I know I've done good. So whether you tell me that or not one way or another, I already know that I've done bad and I've done good. So therefore, again, it falls back to this question, why am I still here? Well, actually, the answer is quite simple and it's quite, you know, it is quite simple. Well, from my perspective, it is anyway. And my answer to that question is, well, am I going to do it for another 3 years? Well, you know, I can't answer for that for sure. I'm going to do it for another 3 years. But I can answer this and say, well, I am going to keep doing this as long as possible. I know that I've talked with people from all over the world because I've done this. In the last 3 years, I've had over 2,000 organic listeners. I guess in retrospect, or reality of it all, is that, well, this is not your regular radio. This is internet radio. So anybody can listen to it at any time. You can listen to it tomorrow. You can listen to it next week. You can listen to it next year. It's at your convenience. And I'm looking at my numbers and I'm thinking, well, I'm looking at most of my listeners are women, which is fine because on my charts, I'm able to see, whether it's women listeners or men listeners. And it even tells me their age category. Don't get me wrong. Let me be quite clear, too, that this is only accurate to the information that has been given for them to take, right? So how accurate it is, I'm not too sure. But I know the majority of my listeners are women. Majority of my listeners are in Canada. My second greatest listener base is out of the U.S. My third greatest listener base is out of the U.K. And other Commonwealth countries such as Ireland, Scotland, and Australia, New Zealand, for example. And those are my other basically third on my list as far as being great followers and listening to my shows. And fourth would be other countries such as in Africa, South America. Actually, I have people from South America listening to me more on a regular basis now too. So my listener base, even out of South America, has grown. And lucky for me, I have been able to kind of, it's kind of mind-boggling in a lot of ways. Well, yes, I've had 2,000 organic listeners, but I've had 2,000 organic listeners from all over the world. Now, basically, from those points I've talked about, and I any feedback I've gotten has been really, really positive. Although I would like some negative feedback, not that I really want that, but I mean it's still helpful to help me improve my show. And to go further, but I am so very, very proud that I've hung on and I've done this. So when I talk about stuckness and I talk about self-worth, well, this is a great example of what self-worth and stuckness have done for me. It's allowed me to do what I'm doing here. It's allowed me to move forward in leaps and bounds, both with my own self-growth and helping others to show others through the gatehouse that there is another life besides feeling like you aren't a life. So life is there if you want to work for it and find it and bring it back, as I have. And I strive to keep that momentum going, and I will strive to do whatever I can to put me in a place that I've always wanted to be. It is not easy sitting here talking like I'm talking. In fact, sometimes it can be very, very difficult because I'm talking about things that sometimes I really don't even want to talk about with anybody. Sometimes I just want to go. I want to go up north and I just want to hibernate in a little hole and I just don't want to talk to anybody. And to me, granted, I'm sure some of you that may not be healthy, but that is what I strive to do sometimes, and that is kind of my way of I guess it's a form of isolation, and on the other hand, it's also a form of self-care, because I seem to see so many people during the day, Monday to Friday, sometimes 7 days a week, sometimes 6 days a week. So when I get my time to go and to isolate myself, where I do not have to talk with anybody or answer to this or to answer to that, then trust me, when I say for myself, that is great self-care. It allows me to self-reflect on the things that I hear through the week. Some weeks I have some very, very heavy weeks, between doing what I'm doing with the show tonight and then the other stuff I do between my job and what I do at the gatehouse. It really consumes my time. And what I've stated is not a complaint whatsoever. I'm very proud to be doing what I'm doing. I'm very proud that the Gatehouse has allowed me to be part of this organization after the healing that I've done, and I'm still healing. I'm very proud that that I've got over 2,000 organic listeners. I mean, that's, to me, that's incredible. You know, so when I talk about self-worth and I talk about suicide, those are the key things that I've been stuck with. Now that I've moved all the way through, I guess you can call, you know, self-worth, you can call that self-love. You can call that many different things that you want. You can call pretty much what you want. But those are the two things that I've basically been left stuck with. You know, I've struggled deeply with those two things. And the fact that I'm able to sit here and to say that I've actually been moving on those things and live and to the world and to myself, well, I don't have to say it to myself because I have. I can see it in front of me. I don't. Somebody could tell me to my face, and I can't even dismiss it. You know, I keep having these little things that come along, and tell me that, Stu, yeah, you know, you're growing. You're not where you were before, and you keep growing. Though I emotional as I feel about the whole thing, and how, well, actually, it can be very, very emotional sometimes, and. I don't know. Maybe I need to go and have a good man cry sometime. I don't know. But it's not that easy. So I will continue to strive and thrive and to keep putting up some good shows. Like I say, next week, I'm hoping that maybe I can get some of these people that I've talked about on my list here for the conference to come in and talk on a show. Like for example, like David Budd, I'd love to get in here and to talk about the Gomeshi trial. Granted, I'm sure he'll only be able to talk to a certain degree about certain things, but I would love to talk to him about the legalities behind that, to why it ended up being what it was. And it's very clear, it's in the media, why it turned out like it was, but that's another great example of a guest who would like to come in here, and I have some other people that I'm going to be having coming in here throughout the rest of the year. We're almost halfway through the year. We're almost into the 6 months. And it's been a very, very exciting half a year so far. And like I said, I'm going to be having some more really good guests come in. Again, I'm going to be having some more therapists come in because I know how helpful they are to other people aside from just myself. So it's good to talk with them, and understanding these things. And hopefully you get something out of it as well. So I have some really good guests coming up. I won't say any names right off the top of my head because I have none confirmed, but I have a few in my head that I'm kind of pondering now that which I just need to try to get to come here and to talk about what we do here. So this is what it's about for me. This has been my launching bed for me moving forward. My launching bed for getting me out of my stuckness, helping me with my self-worth. You know, I'm not a crazy disc jockey on AM or six AM radio or FM radio playing rock and roll songs like I'd love to do, but or blues or jazz or whatever. But I'm here talking about something that's really affected my life, and I know it's affected many other people's lives. So as far as my broadcast is concerned, like I've been kind of giving you little bits and pieces, I'm going to keep going. I can't say I'm going to do it another 3 years. I have no idea. But I will tell you that I will finish out this year, and I can't say what will happen for next year. But I have some things up my sleeve, and I have some projects I would like to do, but it's just a question of timing, and then getting the degree to come on here. And one of my dreams is I've wanted to do, which once we get our basement repaired and back up and running again, is that we're going to build a kind of like a studio in the basement. And I really want to start doing video production. Now, I know many out there that are doing it that are supporting survivors, such as Matt from Surviving My Past. We also have Athena Mulberg, who's doing No More Shame, for example. Bobby Parrish was part of that at one time. You know, I mean, actually, these people I just talked about now are even people I'm going to be talking about at the conference coming up, because that's how much support is out there. These people want to help you. They want to help you. There's no cost. You know, you can talk to them in private groups. You know, you don't have to use your name. You can go anonymously and still get help. because I know in some places that help is just not there. So being able, if you got internet and you have that there, excuse me, at least there's a way of doing this. So I would say that I think that if people don't realize that if you go on social media, it doesn't have to be, it could be either via Twitter or Facebook. You can find all kinds of resources out there where you can get help in regards to anything to do with sexual abuse, domestic violence that was done onto you. So there's many different ways, and I think this is where a lot of people don't realize how social media is changing things. A lot of people I know, like, for example, you don't even have to go to a therapist. You don't have to drive there, or you could be in another country and you can go online, and yes, sometimes you're going to pay for it and sometimes you're not. And then again, it falls back to you doing the research, but you can get help online through a therapist, for example. So, you know, again, this is the hard part, you know, being able to, you know, like if you, especially if you use your name or something like that, you're taking a chance, you know, someone's not going to come back and mock you for using your name. And it's so, I don't know. I think the social media is really the next coming thing as far as being able to help people. And this is what I really want to talk about on a positive manner. Yes, it has its downfalls as well. I totally get that, because there's idiots out there as well. That I remember like 2 years ago, would have been 2 years ago. I remember online, and actually I was on sexual abuse chat, and I remember Bobby was still there. Athena was there, and I think Rachel was coming back and forth. Actually, all three of the ladies were there. And there's one gentleman gets on there now. And in fact, if I go back on Twitter and I can find this name, this guy claimed to be a psychologist or a doctor. And his stick was that, yes, you know, therapy was the way, but he also emphasized on taking prescription drugs quite too freely. So then one of the people in the chat group Googled this guy, and we found that this guy was a fake. So it's really, really important that when you go online and you are seeking help, that you do a little bit of research to make sure that just these people are legit, because you could be taken for a ride financially, and worst, you could be taken for a ride emotionally. And that is not that would not be good. I mean, I wouldn't like that either. But so doing your research and finding what works for you or what best for you is so important. Because there is lots out there for you to choose from, and you could be living in North Alaska. As long as you have internet access, you can talk to a therapist in New York City, for example, a therapist in L.A. You can talk to a therapist hell in Newfoundland, for all that matters, and all through the realm of the internet. And the only difference is, obviously, is that they're not here in front of you. And although a lot of these people that I see online on social media, that you can go on there and you can Skype, so you can do it like a video conversation, not just audio. And it'd be kind of like them being right there with you. I mean, you see their mouths moving, you can see their expressions, you can see their body language. Granted, it's not the same as being right physically in front of you, but it's still a form of help, which where you may be located, which there may not be any whatsoever. So it's either you do that because you live remotely, or even if you're not living remotely, because I know other cities in Canada and in the U.S. where there's limited help for, you know, whatever you might be having, or rather limited help for whatever your issue may be. And depending on where you are living in the country, depending on what city, what state, or what province, you could have a problem getting help. Or if you are, and then even that, if you have to pay, I mean, a lot, I know our OHIP our health plan does not cover, would not cover all of that, but it might cover some, but it definitely doesn't cover it all. Because I know people have been going to therapists for literally 25, 30 years. And I know their OHIP doesn't cover that. They pay, what is it, anywhere from $100 to $250 an hour is what they pay for a therapist. And 250 being obviously the high end of the spectrum, but most of them are 100 or thereabouts. And for some people, well, they just can't afford that. And I totally get that. But you can go online, like on social media, like Twitter, like I'm talking about, or Facebook, and you can get help, and it will not cost you a dime. If you're willing to take the time and you also need to take the time to do a little research about this individual and find out what this person's all about. I wouldn't be talking to anybody that doesn't know anything about, well, for example, well, childhood sexual abuse, for example. I'd really be leery if they weren't a survivor, for example. So how could they actually relate to you in this conversation, actually be able to help you or to give you any kind of empathy, as I've stated? So research is so, so important. Check, see if this person is, what they're doing is actually right, what they're doing. You know, you can Google their name, for example. A lot of times if you Google someone's name, they'll come up and they'll tell you whether they have a Facebook account or if they've done something bad, it usually comes up. So that's very, very, very important. Okay, folks, what else more can I say? I mean, I can't talk about, let me see what time, how are we doing for time? Okay, well, wow, I've already burned an hour and a half of our show. Okay. Well, folks, happy to be here. I don't know what else I can say. I didn't write out a big, long speech to say anything other than all I can say is thank you for listening. Thank you for taking the time to come back and listen to my shows that you've gone back in the past. Lucky for me, I'm able to see who comes and goes and checks this stuff out. I'm also able to see who listens to the show completely or downloads it or listens to part of it and then goes off and it comes back. I'm able to see all those things through Blog Talk Radio. So I'm really, really grateful, again, for my 2,000 organic listeners and the ones who've tried to listen and couldn't finish it for whatever reason. But I'm grateful. I'm really, really grateful that you've taken the time out to listen to what I have to say, what I'm talking about. And this is not a nice topic to talk about whatsoever. So when I say I'm grateful, I am really, really, really grateful. I really have to thank you I have to thank the Gatehouse for one thing. The Gatehouse here at 3101 Lakeshore Boulevard West in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. For giving me a place to do this. I could be doing it at home, but I'd much rather do it here at the Gatehouse. Sometimes I know you may hear a phone ring in the background or you might hear a bit of noise, but I want you out there to realize that this is actually a place. And there's actually a lot of people come here, and it's a busy place. And yes, there's a lot of sadness here, but there's also a lot of happiness as well. You know, you think that when you come in here, that's just going to be sad, 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 sad. Well, not always sad, man. You should hear the laughter that comes out of here sometimes too. And I really firmly believe that if I keep doing what I'm doing and others do similar or the same, I mean, everybody's doing their own thing in regards to talking about childhood sexual abuse. And, I don't think there's enough being done about it. I think there's a lot more could be done. And to me, if I'm barking in your ear, then you don't have to listen. You could just turn me off. But the point being is that I'm talking about it where other people are not talking about it. And I'm very humbled the fact that I am here. That I've been here for 3 years, and I've been able to talk about this to the level that I have. And I'm just trying to think of a highlight that I could share with you. Actually, you know what my highlight was? The very first one I did, the very first show that I did, I was very, very nervous as hell. I remember it was with Art Lockhart, the founder of the Gatehouse. And we had a full 2 hours. In fact, we could have had more than 2 hours because Art had a hell of a lot more to say. I had a hell of a lot more to say. And to me, you know, I think about that. I thought, wow, man. If I was able to get Art to come on here and to talk like he spoke for that 2 hours, that's something really, really special. And to me, that is really, really a big highlight for me in regards to doing this show. Obviously, don't get me wrong, I've had other shows where just really, really, really good as well. I could think of, Charmaine being on the show, for example, Deb Mayberry, Helen, Giuliani, that was a great show as well. Same thing with Rob Hawkins, Tara Muldoon, I want to get her back in here again as well. And same thing with Rob Hawkins, there's Dev Adams, I've had a lot of people come in here and have left me with a really, really good feeling that that they came on here and they talked about stuff that you people wanted to hear about. So leaving on this note, I just want to say thank you. And thank you for all your participation and your feedback. Actually tonight I got Flower Child Living with Abuse and Maria. And then there's a couple others here as well that I haven't mentioned that have been contributing to the show. And I'm really, really, really grateful for that for tonight and for also the ones that have done it in the past as well. So folks, well, I can't say I'm going to be here another 3 years, although I anything is possible, but I'm definitely here for the rest of the year and I'm definitely here into the next year. We have lots to talk about. I have lots of guests I want to bring on here. I will be having some really good guests as I've stated coming up. Childhood sexual abuse is far from being fixed. It's far from being over. Society has a lot to learn. And I don't know, I'll leave it at that because I'm not a policymaker or a lawmaker or anything of the sort. I'm just a peer support person here at the Gatehouse. That's all I am. And I really care about the people that come through here. But folks, okay, that's it. I'm done. Thank you. You're the best. And here's to another 2,000 episodes, or rather 2,000 listens. And I think I've done 121 shows in 3 years. So that's pretty good. So folks, thank you. Have a good night. I will be back next week. And I'm going to come back next week. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to try to get bios of all the individuals that are coming here to the conference, which is next Friday. So I'll talk a little bit more about them in context to what they actually do and who they are and what they are. I only read their names. So again, if you're interested in coming to our conference, call the Gatehouse at 416-255-5900. Speak with anyone of the staff or volunteers, or go onto our website at www.thegatehouse.org, and you can find more information there as well. But and we also have our partners group coming up June 17th. Again, you can call the Gatehouse for that as well. We also have more assist training, suicide intervention training, coming up on June 10th and the 11th. And I believe we have some space still there, but I think we're getting we only have so many, and I think we're almost there. So we might have a few spots left. If you're interested, again, you can call the Gatehouse at 416-255-5900. And folks, you're wonderful, beautiful people. Thank you. Have a great night, and I will be back next week. Again, warm up for the conference coming up. So, folks, have a good night. Thank you for celebrating my 3 years of personal transformation. Have a good night, and talk to you later.